I'd like to read now from Titus chapter 3, Titus chapter 3, the first 11 verses. The Word of God says, put them in mind. What does that mean, put them in mind? It means to remind the people. It means to get them to remember things. He says this a number of times. This is Paul writing to the young preacher Timothy, and he says, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that, the goodness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly. What's he mean when he says, I'm telling you, Titus, I'm telling you to affirm these things constantly. He's again saying, tell them over and over. Affirm these things constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men, but avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain. A man that is an heretic, after the first and second admonition, reject, knowing that he that is such is subverted and sinneth, being condemned of himself. If correctly read, that's Titus chapter 3, verses 1 through 11. The main thought that's on my heart this morning is found in verse 8, where the Word of God says, this is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. Now, I believe that it's possible for God's people to begin doing good works and then stop doing good works. And then sometimes after a while they start back doing good works and then they stop doing good works. And I believe that in the lives of many of God's children that it's an on again, off again. There's not much constancy in the lives of God's people today. And I believe that's the reason that Paul wrote to Titus and said, now, I'm telling you to affirm this constantly to the people, that they should maintain good works. That is, don't be on and off, but always maintain good works. Now, that seems to be the main thought throughout the entire writing to Timothy, is good works. I want you to notice in Titus chapter 1, look at verse 16. Titus chapter 1 and verse 16. The Word of God talks about people that are not serving God and doing those good works. In Titus 1:16, it says they profess that they know God, but in works they what? They deny Him. They're denying Him by the works. They profess that they know God. How do you profess that you know God? That comes with your mouth, see? With their mouth, they say that they know God, but their works deny Him. And I believe that many times in our lives, there's only one letter difference, and I don't know that I've ever noticed this till last night as I was meditating on this subject, that there's only one letter difference in the words and works. And our words, W-O-R-D-S, our words often are professing that we know God and that we love God. With our words, we talk about our love for God, but the question is, do our works, W-O-R-K-S, do our works prove what our words say? The Word of God teaches us that it is more important that we live our religion and that we live a life that would honor and glorify God and that we bring forth fruit in our life. That's more important than the professing and the talking that we do about our love for God. So he says here, they profess that they know God, but in their works they deny Him. They're not maintaining what? Good works. They're not maintaining good works. Now, if you'll notice in Titus chapter 2, listen to verses 6 and 7. He continues the thought of good works. He says in Titus chapter 2, verses 6 and 7, young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded in all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works. The people of God are to show ourselves a pattern of good works. That means that you're supposed to be a pattern for everybody to live by. You're supposed to live in such a way, your life is to maintain good works so that your life is a pattern of good works. People can look at you and say, now that's the way that we ought to live. And of course, every true Christian knows that the only one that we primarily follow is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the perfect pattern of good works. But as we follow Christ, and as we are filling our lives with good works, we should be a pattern of good works. And if we're a real, true pattern of good works, we're going to be maintaining those good works. Now come down to chapter 2 and verse 14. Chapter 2, Titus 2, 14 says, who gave himself for us, speaking about Jesus Christ, he gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Now, in the text he said that we should maintain good works. In Titus 1:16 he talks about those that profess that they know God, but in their works they deny Him. In Titus 2:6 and 7, he says that the young men are to be taught to be sober and that they're to be a pattern of good works. And now he says in Titus 2:14 that we're to be zealous of good works. Are you zealous about anything in your life? Is there anything in your life that you're full of compassion about? Is there anything in your life that you feel like, now, when it comes to being zealous, I would get an A+ in that category of my life? Not talking about spiritual things right now, but do you know of any natural things that you are zealous about doing? Now, the Word of God is teaching us here that not only are we to be zealous about other things, but we are to be zealous about what God's Word defines here as good works. There are a lot of works that we're zealous about. Question is, are we zealous of good works? Then he says in Titus 3, verse 1, he says, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work. Do those good works. Now, in the midst of all this talking and teaching and preaching about good works, what is the danger? What is the error that many people conclude when they read so much in the Word of God about the exhortation to do good works? What do they then often do and go off the end outside of the truth of God's Word? What do they then teach? They teach that we're saved eternally by our works. That doctrine is contrary to the teaching of God's Word. And in the midst of all the teaching about good works, God's Word will always emphasize we're not saved eternally by our works. And in the midst of teaching about grace, listen carefully, I want you to see both sides are true. Whenever the Word of God is emphasizing works, it will then say our eternal salvation is not by those works. And when the Word of God is talking about being saved by grace, guess what it will also emphasize? It also emphasizes that we should be doing those good works. So, we're first of all, we get in the ditch on one side of doing good works and thinking that we are good, and we're going to get to go to heaven because we're good. That's a lie from the devil. We will not be in the eternal heaven because of our good works. When Paul wrote to Titus and told him over and over to tell the people to be zealous of good works, to be a pattern of good works, to maintain good works, in all of those things, he then emphasizes in Titus chapter 3 and verse 5. Look at what he says in Titus chapter 3 and verse 5. He says, let me read 4 and 5. Titus 3, 4 and 5. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done. Do you see what he does right there in the middle of all this teaching on works? He says, the love of God appeared to man not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. So we always, as we emphasize and teach and do good works, what do we always need to remember? We always need to remember two things. First of all, we need to remember the words of Jesus when He said that after we have done all that He has commanded us to do, we're to say we are still unprofitable servants. We are to emphasize to ourselves and to others, we are not good. There is none good, no, not one. We are not good enough to be in eternal heaven because of our works. And so he says, it's not by works of righteousness that we have done that we've been saved, but it's because of His mercy and His grace that He saved us. But then as soon as he tells us again that it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, he comes down in Titus 3:8 and says, now I'm telling you to affirm to them over and over to maintain good works. And so it is my exhortation to you and to me this day. I believe the Spirit of God is speaking to me and to you in the beginning of this year that we would be careful to maintain good works. We're going to try to look at what are some good works, because did you know there are a lot of works that people think are good, and there are a lot of people working and doing a lot of works in the name of religion, and those works are really an abomination in the sight of God. So we need to be careful about all the works that we do and be sure that the works we're doing are really works that are what God's Word would define as good works, because there are many works that I can come up with in my mind and you can come up with in your mind that you say, now, that has to be a good work. And in reality, it is not a good work. Look at Ephesians. Back up just a moment, please, to Ephesians chapter 2. We're talking, first of all, about the fact that we should be maintaining good works, that we should be a pattern of good works, that we should be zealous of good works. Our lives should be filled with good works. And I believe, brethren, that if you know what Jesus has done for you, if you realize the amazing grace of God that has been manifested toward you in saving you from your sins, I believe you will be wanting to do good works. I believe your desire and heart, if you think about what God has done for you and is doing and shall do, you will want to be doing those good works. You cannot think about what God is doing for you and not want to be doing good works. In Ephesians chapter 2, beginning in verse 8, Ephesians 2, the Word of God says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So what's he doing here in Ephesians chapter 2? What's he saying? He's saying that our eternal salvation is by grace. It's not of works, lest any man should what? Boast. And then what does he say? As soon as he finishes saying, not of works, lest any man should boast, what's the very next verse say? For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. What has God ordained? God has ordained that we should walk in good works. He has declared that we are saved by grace through faith, and that not of ourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast, and then turns right around and says, we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Did you know the only reason that you ever desire to do good works is because God put that desire in your heart? And the only reason that you're able to carry out good works is because God gives you the ability in your life to work out those good works. It's God that worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. If you ever do please God, if you ever do good works, if you maintain good works, if you're a pattern of good works, if you're zealous of good works, it's all because of God working and leading and guiding and directing you in your life. So let him that glorieth not glory in himself, but rather let him glory in the Lord. If you realize, if you know that you are doing things that are pleasing to God, then you be careful to know and understand and realize and remember it's God that's moving you and leading you and guiding you and giving the strength to do those good works. Who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou hast not received? If you love God, why do you love God? We love Him because He first loved us. If you're bringing forth fruit to perfection unto God, if you're bringing forth fruit, why are you able to bring forth fruit? It's because you're part of the vine. You're getting your nourishment. You're getting your strength. You get everything you need to bring forth fruit from Jesus Christ. He's the vine, and we're the branches. Does the branch have any reason to boast about the fruit that's in its life? Absolutely not. Why? Because the branch is only doing that it's getting the strength and source of strength and energy to do through the vine. We are created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Turning your Bibles now to 1 Timothy. Go back to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Please look in your Bibles at 1 Timothy. Just before Titus that we started off looking at, that we are to be a pattern of good works and zealous of good works and maintaining good works. In 1 Timothy, the Apostle Paul, writing to the young preacher Timothy, tells him what to preach. You know, I think it's wonderful when you read 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus. It's wonderful to me to read how this old preacher Paul is telling the young preachers what to preach. Isn't that amazing? The old preacher Paul, who's had years and years of experience and who is being led by the Spirit of God, is telling these young preachers what they're to be preaching about. And so he says now to Timothy, basically some very similar words that he did to Titus in 1 Timothy chapter 6. Listen to verse 17. Charge them. What's he saying? He's saying, Timothy, you have a responsibility to charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good works, that they be rich in what? Okay, he says, that they do good, that they be rich in good works. That they be rich in good works. Now, brethren, I would say that this morning in this congregation, we have a lot of rich people. We have a lot of rich people. And you can say, oh, I know that I'm rich spiritually, but I'm poor. No, you're not poor materially. You are rich materially. There's nobody in this building, virtually, there's nobody in this building that would be really considered poor in a material way. Even if what they have is being given to them every day, they're still rich in a material way. We have plenty of food. We have good clothing, we have shelter, we have everything we need. People that have no money in the bank still have plenty of food, clothing, and shelter. Many of these that are here from the nursing home, many of them have no more material goods on their own, but God is still giving them plenty of food, clothing, and shelter. God, may God help us to realize we are rich people, materially. And then the admonition here is, charge them that are rich in this world that they be rich in good works. Don't be concentrating on your riches. Don't be thinking about how much money you have. Don't think. Listen carefully, listen, brethren. You cannot accumulate enough wealth to weather the storm that God sends in your life. Everybody hear what I just said? You cannot, and I cannot, accumulate enough things to weather the storms that God sends in our lives. As a natural man, when I entered the ministry, I thought that I had enough to last me for quite a while. Because we had just sold our house. This was in 1974. We had just sold our house. We had $27,000 in cash, plus everything that we needed. Now, would you think that would be enough to start in the ministry and that you had a good cushion back in 1974, a pretty good cushion to live off of? Did you know that in that first year, we lost the $27,000 due to medical bills for our son? In the first year of my ministry, we lost all $27,000 that we had in the bank, and we lost everything else that we had accumulated during that first year. You know how long it takes for God to blow on what you think you've got built up to last you through hard times? It doesn't take a moment. It's just all he has to do is just speak the word. It's all gone. So what I'm saying to you this morning is what God is saying that Timothy is to say to the people. Warn those that are rich in this world. Warn them. Charge them that they not trust in uncertain riches, but trust in God, who giveth to all men liberally. He gives to his people who look to him and trust in him. He gives to them what they need. And he says now, instead of trusting in uncertain riches, he says, trust in God and be careful to, what's he say in verse 18? That they do good, that they be rich in good works. My question to you right now is, do you have more money in the bank or more good works stacked up? Everybody hear the question? You got more money in the bank or more good works stacked up? Are you more profitable in your life? Are you more profitable in a material way? Or are you more profitable in good works? Do you have many more dollars or many more good works? Which one is it that you have the most of in your life? I hope that God will help us to realize the importance of good works. If you're doing the good works that God would have you to do, God will take care of everything else you need. If you seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, God will take care of you. Thank you, sister. I'll tell you, she just sits over there and until she's going to pop. She has to say something, you know it. Sister Stalvey, I thank the Lord for you. You're a great blessing. Do you think she's ever had any good works in her life? Was rich in good works? You think she's still rich in good works? Oh, now she can't be rich in good works now. All she can do is just lay in that chair and lay in her bed. How can she still be rich in good works? Because there are many good works that God's people do that they don't have to get up and go around and walk around and have money to do. If you don't have money and you can't walk and you can't do anything else, you still can be rich in good works. Isn't that amazing? It is amazing that God can take somebody that is a total invalid and bless them to be able to do good works. Even if all they can do is lay there and pray. Nan Butts, a dear friend of mine that was, when I first knew her, when she joined the church, she was a librarian in a school, had a good education, had a lot of money. Her parents left her a lot of money. Never had married. And she got, what was it, Teresa? Muscular dystrophy. And she lay there in that bed the last 30 or 40 years of her life, she lay in that bed, unable to move anything at all except her eyes. Just lay there. And she could talk, But all she could do was lay there. And did you know that she was still rich in good works as she lay there on that bed? And I can give you one example after another, and you can give me examples of people that you have known that they couldn't walk, they couldn't get around, they couldn't go feed people, they couldn't do a lot of things, but they're still rich in good works. Is prayer a good work? Is praying a good work? One of the most wonderful good works that we can do is to pray. And one of the saddest things that's in our lives is there's so little genuine prayer. How is your prayer life? How do you tally up when it comes to good works in the area of praying? Because praying is a very, very important. It's a vital part of any Christian's life. If we're not spending much time, if we're not spending a lot of time in prayer, then we are not rich in good works. Some of you name a few good works. Just name some good works that you know God's Word teaches these are good works. What are some good works besides prayer? Visiting, all right? James 1 says, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep ourselves unspotted from the world. Is visiting a good work? It is a work that God has clearly said, if you don't visit, you don't have pure religion. You go to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, you can give your tithes, you can do everything else, you can read God's Word, but if you're not out visiting and you're able to be out visiting, then you don't have pure religion, because pure religion is to visit. Jesus says, I was sick and in prison, and ye came unto me. You visited me. And what did those people say? Lord, when did we ever see you? And when did we give you is giving food to people that need it? Is that a good work? I was hungry, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. Are those good works? You go back and read and study there in Matthew 25, 34 through 40, and you'll read about a lot of good works. And those people, listen carefully, in Matthew 25, 34 through 40, those people inherited and entered the kingdom of heaven, which God had prepared for His obedient children, and the reason they inherited that kingdom is because of their good works. We do not enter eternal heaven because of our works, but we do enter the kingdom of heaven because of our works. Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. One of the biggest problems we have as Christians, one of the biggest problems we have as humans, one of the biggest problems we have as children of God, it's hard to get the right phrase, one of the biggest problems we have as children of God is doing good works and not wanting glory for the good works we're doing. Did you know it? I think that's one of the hardest things in our lives is when we do good works, what do we typically want to do then? We want to please ourselves. We want to tell everybody what good works we've been doing. And Jesus tells us in Matthew 6, He says that when you give your alms, you're to give, not letting your left hand know what your right hand's doing. And your Father that seeth in secret will reward you openly if you do those good works. And when you pray, don't pray sounding a trumpet, standing on the street corner, but when you pray, you enter into your closet and you pray in secret, and your Father that hears in secret, He'll reward you openly. And when you fast, don't tell people that you're fasting, but enter into your closet and fast and pray and go about your daily activities. Wash your face and comb your hair and get out there and go about your daily activities and don't let anyone know what you're doing. But I'll tell you this, your light will be shining and other people will see your good works even when you try to hide your good works. And they will then glorify your Father which is in heaven. Brethren, if any of you be destitute, look at James 4. Turn in your Bibles to James chapter 4. Well, James 2, let's stop there. James chapter 2. Which is most important? Which is most important, faith or works? Some said faith, some said works. Well, listen. They're both important. They're both important. They're both very important. I would have great difficulty saying which one's more important, but I can emphatically say that faith without works is dead. And works without faith is also useless too. If it's not a work of faith and a labor of love, it's not acceptable to God. Did you know that you can go feed the poor and it be a good work, and I can go feed the poor and it not be a good work? Did you know that? What determines the difference in whether an activity that is a good activity, what determines whether it's a good work in the sight of God? It's what moved and motivated. It's what's going on in your heart, not what's going on your tally sheet. Well, I did 43 good works this week. It's not what's in your head. It's what's in your heart. Disciples of Christ are identified by what's in their heart, not by what's in their head. How can you say that? Because Jesus said, "By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one to another." Do you love God? Do you really love God? If you really love God, you're going to be maintaining good works. You're going to be a pattern of good works. You're going to be zealous of good works if you really love God. Have you ever heard, "I'd rather see a sermon than hear one any day"? Look at James chapter 2, now verse 14. James 2, verse 14. The Word of God says, "What doth it profit? What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, Depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, Thou hast faith, and I have works." Here's what James says. James says, "Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works." You want to see somebody's faith? You'll see, if you see somebody that really has genuine faith in God, you'll see somebody that their works prove their faith in God. I want to just go to one other scripture in closing. If you will, turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Listen, please, to verses 24 and 25. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. Let me ask you this question before we read these verses. Do I need to maintain good works? Do I need to be a pattern of good works? Do you need to maintain good works and be a pattern of good works and be zealous of good works? If you don't know enough yet about what the good works are, you see me later, because I can give you a long, long list of things that are really good works in the sight of God if they're done for the right purpose and in the right spirit and in the right manner. But it is not enough for you to maintain good works and be zealous of good works and be a pattern of good works. You must also, and here's an important good work, is that you provoke others unto good works. In Hebrews chapter 10, now listen to verses 24 and 25. The Word of God says, "Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works." Do I need to provoke and encourage you? Do you need to provoke and encourage others to be maintaining and zealous of good works, unto love and good works? Now, what's the first thing he says? He puts a colon and he says, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together." Is assembling together, is going to church, is that a good work? Is going to church a good work? Is that something we need to encourage others to do, is go to the house of God? You know, we need to say, you remember how David said, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I think that David penned those words after he had sinned with Bathsheba and Uriah the Hittite and all the sin that had gone on in his life, and he felt so wicked and despicable that he just couldn't even go to the house of God. And after a period of time of mourning and being cut off, I think somebody went to David and said, come on, you've been away from the house of God a long time now, come on, let's go back to the house of God. And then David wrote down those words, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. If you want to provoke one another unto love and good works, if there are people that you know they're not going to church, you may think there's no use inviting them to the house of God. You may think that they're not interested in God, but I'm telling you, you have a responsibility to invite people to come and worship. Come worship God. May God help us to be careful to maintain good works in our own lives and to provoke one another unto love and good works is my prayer for Christ's sake.